fun.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to Knipkin Up. How are you doing on this Friday? It's rainy. Oh, is it rainy today? I am Greg Knipp. I am, of course, your Knipp, and that is Chris Yuzinski.
Hi, everybody.
He will be the Knipp. How are you, my friend?
You know what? I'm dry, and thankfully. Well, but you say, not so much.
I'm a little bit, I've been squeegeeing and mopping out some of the water in my basement.
Right. Sorry to hear that, man. That is always the biggest drag in the world.
You know, and it was funny, last night I was telling a friend, I said, you know what would be really neat is to have like a swimming pool or something that you could go and spend some time in. And I'm like, well, look at that. It's in my basement now.
Don't have to go that far.
All I can say is, thank goodness I am lazy.
Oh.
Because, you know, I moved to this house five-ish years ago, and I still have stuff that I've never taken out of the plastic totes.
Right.
Ha-ha. See that? They were in plastic totes. That laziness paid off.
Procrastination rules. There
you
go.
This is the one time that I didn't. I'm kind of glad that I didn't like set up all the shelving. Instead, I'm like, well, you know, I just mop around the plastic totes.
But what about the five pool tables and the bar and the jacuzzi you got in the basement?
Well,
that all
got
damaged in the flood.
Yeah, that's still in the plastic totes as well. It is what it is. I mean, I could sit and complain and cry over it, or I can just realize that I'm going to be down in my basement mopping floors for a while. So it's good
before
for me.
Before you make that insurance claim, Greg, I'm going to bring a truckload of furniture over. We're going to dump it in your basement and call the insurance then.
There it is. All right,
ladies and gentlemen, there you go.
So there it is. All right, that voice from that voice, that wasn't a voice in your head. Now, so here's the thing. If you ever went to the bars, okay, and I'm going to set it this way.
Oh, God.
If you went to the bars in the early 80s and the 90s, you always ended up at least once or twice a month at Bubby's Awesome Eats. Just because it was kind of like the black hole that sucked you in, and the next day you woke up hungover and stinking of garlic.
That's it.
And so we had to talk to Buddy. Buddy, how are you, buddy?
Hey there, guys. Bring on the stank. Absolutely.
You know, I remember a couple of times going to Bubby's and then going to DJ a club afterwards, like having dinner first.
Jesus.
And then going someplace, and then people would just stare at me. And then I'd be like, at least they're not bothering me around the turntables. Because I'm telling you, that garlic sauce, legendary.
That's because you had your stank on. You were doing good. That's it. The best form of advertising is absolutely with a little garlic breath.
Well, but I do have to say the one nice, I mean, you know, I've there's been a couple of times that I've come in for takeout in the last little while, but I'm always like, I'm going to make sure that I don't have to wear a mask the next day.
See,
because I think I could kill myself with the smell of the garlic sauce. So how are you?
I'm doing good. Self-intoxication is what it is. Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing fine. Thanks, guys. Very much a pleasure to be on the show.
But Buddy actually has a garlic mic. I don't know if anyone could see that.
Which I think is absolutely brilliant.
The king of garlic.
I buried the little like condenser right in the middle of it, so you know.
Never use that again. Yeah. That's awesome. That is awesome. So anyway, you know, I've known Buddy for a million years. I actually worked for Buddy when I was in university. I was a waiter at Bubby's Awesome Eats, and it was a wonderful experience. We've been friends ever since. And actually, you were at my wedding. I was just telling my wife about that and just remembering that. So great to have you on the show. I mean, you've been a restaurateur for, it's got to be close to 40 years. I don't want to use the 40 word, but.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to use the 40 year mark. It's actually 37 years, which is an extremely long time. And that's pretty damn close to 40 years. No question. So, I started when I was 24 years old. I can't even believe it myself.
Right. You know? You were a young guy when you opened up the shop. And the lore of it was, and this is really kind of funny because everyone used to call you Bubby, because it was a Bubby's Awesome Meats, but and they go, you mean Buddy? And they're like, oh yeah, yes. I guess his name is Buddy, right? But maybe you can take us through the story of the naming and the actual restaurant itself. It's a great story.
What happened? I was in the University of Toronto. I was actually taking a Bachelor of Science in Land Surveying. So I was doing a science program. I was in my fourth year, and my grandmother passed away in February of my final year of university. And so my mom being the only child and, you know, our grandmother, which we called Bubby, that was our nickname for her. She was a very important person. She was a very important influence in our lives. And so my mother, having great sentimental value for her home, was in no place or no want to sell. And she asked me if I wanted to do anything with it. The one thing that I wanted to do my entire life was to be in business. What kind? Never knew. What type? Didn't care. It was just one of those things. What do you want to do? Do you want to be a fireman? No, I want to be in business. You know, so it was just one of those things. I want to be in business. And so what happened was, in my final year of school, from February till the close of school, I started to formulate different ideas of what I wanted to do with the house. And actually, I'll tell you honestly, my very first thought was turning that house, which was Bubby's house, into a shoe store. I kind of thought that'd be a cool concept. You know, I don't know. I was always impressed by some shoe stores, local shoe stores in Windsor when I was growing up as a kid that my parents would take me to buy shoes. But it was just one of those things. That was actually my very first concept of what I wanted to do. But I guess what wound up winning out was the fact of different things in Toronto were a great influence on me while I was in school. There were these separate type of businesses that were doing extremely well. There were gourmet burger places just kind of coming to their own. There were dessert places that were, there was one place called Just Desserts. It was open 24 hours a day. And it, you know, in Windsor, the standard thing to do after the bar was to go out to like a 24-hour breakfast place and pick out on breakfast. In Toronto, the big thing to do was to go out to an actual dessert place called Just Desserts and order, you know, the $5, $6 piece of cake and a coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning. That was the thing to do.
Yep.
And then there was a new business that was starting up that had frozen yogurts. It was called, by the way, Frozen Yogurt on Queen Street. And it was a phenomenal success and a very unique kind of a concept that was happening at the time. So what wound up winning out was this combination of gourmet burgers, desserts, and frozen yogurt to bring to Windsor.
It did really well.
And that's what started to create the Bubbies. Now, I knew right from the very beginning, just a quick story behind the name. I knew right from the very beginning that as far as the restaurant goes, I mean, it's Bubby's house. That's what we called her. That was her nickname for her. I'm not going to call it anything other than Bubby's.
Sure.
But being going to be a restaurant, Bubby's restaurant, Bubby's what? I couldn't really put my, you know, finger in my head and figure out what the name was going to be. So walking around downtown with a friend of mine, there was a couple of businesses in Toronto that were the gourmet burger places. There was Wheels Fabulous Eats. There was Toby's Good Eats. And I said, Bubby's, Bubby's what? And he just looked at me and he said, Bubby's Awesome Eats, man. That's what it's got to be. And so that's what sprung the name, being Bubby's house and being going to be a restaurant combining the gourmet burgers, the desserts, and the frozen yogurt. It was going to be Bubby's Awesome Eats. And that was the beginning. Way back, we started in 1984.
Yeah, you know, mid-80s.
December of 1984. Yeah. Long time ago.
You bet. Cheers to that, by the way.
Hey, thank you. Cheers to you guys.
Hey, what are you drinking today?
I've got a 12-year-old blended scotch, actually. It's a monster bottle that comes from Costco. I got to show you the bottle. The bottle is just incredible. Like, I mean, I don't even know if I can fit it in the camera. It's huge. It's 1.75 liters.
Does it have wheels?
It comes with its own cart.
That's brilliant.
I'm going premix. You know, me and my premixes just love it. Hey, our friends at Weiser's Canadian Club premix with ginger ale, making that wonderfully effervescent Ryan ginger.
And me, I'm doing a salted caramel coffee. Mm. I went. Listen, I needed some more coffee while I was mopping the floor, and then I'm like, I need some booze in it now. So I just put the salted caramel Canadian Club in there.
Good for you.
Yeah, because you know that makes mopping easier. So cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Happy Friday.
So when Bubby's first started up, you guys were different than everybody else in Windsor. I mean, you guys, you know, I don't want to be mean, but sometimes Windsor is a little overly cautious with their ideas of stepping out of the norm. Was that a little bit of a fear for you though, when you first started up, kind of like, because nobody was doing this new Toronto. And when I say Toronto concept, it was a little bit more big city ish. I mean, when you went into it, were you like,
there's no question. I'm not trying to boast or whatever like that, but I being from Windsor, I knew what was happening in Windsor.
Yeah.
And I knew what was happening in Toronto. I had the fortunate, you know, opportunity of, like I say, being exposed to what was happening there for 4 years. And I really took advantage of being there and experiencing what was going on, from the music to the restaurants, the music to every aspect of it. And it really was funny because, you know, we're talking the early 80s, how so many different things. For example, you couldn't find a debit machine to save your life in Windsor, yet that's what I utilized on a daily basis in Toronto. And I mean, a debit machine was the old physical machine that was actually only at a bank at those times. Like, you couldn't pay by debit or anything. You had to go to an actual debit machine to pull cash. That was the only way you kind of worked with it when it first started off. But I mean, you know, these ideas that I knew didn't exist in Windsor, I didn't find it scary. I wanted to give it a try. I thought that the three combination of concepts would be unique. And they were. I mean, I'll honestly tell you, frozen yogurt, you know, I brought frozen yogurt to, I'll call it even southern Ontario, below Toronto. Yep. Nobody had that style of frozen yogurt south of Toronto at all. Zero.
Yep.
And I mean, it was an incredible, it turned out to be an incredible success with the people down here and their desire for it and its uniqueness that, I mean, you know, it was crazy. We were selling in the beginning days. The truck had to load us 2 to 3 times a week because we had no storage for it. We were pumping out a skid load of frozen yogurt every week. That's 144 dozen every week. It was insane. I mean, even just the things that I'd bring down to Windsor, like I had no fear in getting things from out of town or whatever like that. I brought Orangina to Windsor. Nobody had Orangina in Windsor. We were selling like skid loads of Orangina. It was, you know, just to bring something. I think there was no question that Windsor was always very hungry for new and creative things. And at that time, we provided that. We provided, you know, new and different ideas to the city that were pretty commonplace, just, you know, 3.5 hours, you know, to the east of us, right? So an interesting time. It was a fun time. It was a fantastic time.
And that's the one thing, right? You know, I had terracotta, you know, for 12 years. And, you know, I remember kind of the same thing, bringing in something like Jones Sodas. And people were like, where did you get, you know, it was almost like, you know, it was this mythical beverage, and people would come in and buy, because, I mean, I remember going into Bubby's and buying Orangina and being excited because you guys would mix it with
apple juice, fresh squeezed.
Right. And it was like, it's like, what is this creation? And, you know, and I mean, but that was the nice thing about Bubby's. You never knew what you were going to get. I mean, there was always something new to try. And, I mean, to this day, still one of my all-time favorite things you've ever done were your steak tips.
Thanks. No, it's been, like I said, the whole restaurant experience has been an extremely fun ride. And I mean, you know, over all these years, what we found that was happening was obviously, which is the whole Bubby's sauce thing. I mean, honestly, it was, Bubby's sauce was, do you guys know how Bubby's sauce was actually created?
No.
Well, there's a couple of jokes I could make, but I'm just going to be quiet.
I guess we're going to talk about how Bubby, no. So Bubby's sauce was, when I first was starting off in the restaurant business, very young and all the rest, but my mom taught at a vocational school and they had a brand new chef that was in charge of the culinary program. She taught at Western Secondary School, and the culinary chef that was in charge at that time was a younger guy. You know, he was fun. He was bright. He loved to indulge in his cocktails as well. So he came to the restaurant. We hit it off, and he wanted to show me just before opening. He wanted to show me three different types of salad dressings that we were going to make in house. One of them was a a Caesar salad dressing, which we named the Caesar salad after him for, I think, 25 years, if I'm not mistaken. And the other salad dressing he showed us was a creamy vinaigrette. And the third salad dressing he showed us was a spinach salad dressing. Now, the whole thing is he did like to indulge in his cocktails. And when he came to show, before the restaurant was actually open, about a week before the restaurant was open, he came to show how to make these dressings. There was definitely some overindulgence in the alcoholic realm that was happening at the manufacturing of this salad dressing, which was, honest to God, it was only like about a liter and a half of salad dressing. It was this small quantity. And when he started to make the spinach salad dressing, he grabbed a monster handful of garlic and he dumped it in. He's like, everybody loves garlic. And he left. And my sister helped me in the beginning days to open the restaurant. We looked at each other. And I mean, I guess it's got to be the European thing. Like, we looked at this liter and a half. You got to understand, it's not a lot of salad dressing. We looked at it and going, well, we're not going to throw it out and start over again. It's like ridiculous. It's way, way beyond anything that anybody would ever want. How do we fix it? We're not gonna start again. How do we fix it? So the fix was add this, add that, add this, add that. That's how Bubby's Sauce came to be.
Wow.
And so it was only designed as to be, and the thought was, if we cut this with some yogurt to even further reduce it, there would be our salad dressing. And correct. So the salad dressing had to be cut with yogurt because it was so potent. And then the concept came about to, why don't we put this on top of the burgers as a topping, you know, like mayonnaise, like a condiment. The idea became, we'll take this as a condiment and put it on the burgers. So that's how Bubby's Sauce came to be, by total, you know, overindulgence and a little extra heavy hand on garlic and some creative thinking on how to fix. And then, you know, the idea to use it as a condiment on the burgers. Well, over time, that condiment, people started asking for it. And I remember one gentleman I became to befriend, he was actually a professional cellist in the Windsor Symphony. And he doesn't live in Windsor anymore, but he would come in and Stokesy? He would ask for a bowl of Bubby's and his fries.
That sounds like
Stokes. And that whole fries and Bubby's thing, again, actually the customers sort of brought that on. They, you know, the idea of the mayonnaise with the fries. And so customers started catching on to this Bubby's and fries thing. And then it's really interesting. Like I say, to me, I'm blown away about how Bubby's became more and more of this utilized condiment throughout all the different foods that we were carrying. And like I say, it's the customer driving the inspiration on even how to use it.
So, buddy, are you?
It's funny. You
but
know?
Are you, buddy? Are you saying John Stokes is the guy who
yes, it's John Stokes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible.
Who watches the show, by the way, from Spain? Wow, that's great to hear. So now, buddy, now
hi,
your
John.
Sauce. Yeah, hey, John. So now your sauce is available pretty much anywhere in Canada.
Well, not Canada yet. We are only Ontario, Southern Ontario. We're trying to expand. We really and honestly. Bubby's Sauce, as far as a commercialized version of the sauce, took many years of development. Years, actually. There's a lot of mandates associated to the manufacture of Bubby's Sauce that are very specific. For example, Bubby's Sauce has no preservatives, no additives, nothing artificial. It's made with fresh vegetables. It is to I'll call it mass produce the sauce with all of these criteria took a very long period of time to one find they're called co-packers, find a manufacturing facility that will manufacture the sauce to the specifications and the exactness of the gold standard made in the restaurant. That took years.
Really?
That took years and failures with so many different companies. I think I must have been to at least 8 different companies trying the recipe and the sauce, where so many of them looked at the way we made it and refused to make it the same way. They're like, oh no, like, you know, they're talking to me like I'm 3 years old. if you want to put a sauce on the marketplace, you're going to have to accept you're going to use powdered garlic. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? There's no way I'm using powdered garlic. Like, this is either you're going to make the sauce the way you're going to make it, or else this just isn't going to happen. But those kind of forays into dealing with institutional places could take 6 months, could take 8 months, could take, you know, some of them, like, and to follow the recipe to the way we make it, places took the recipe and the product and just said, it's a failure. We can't do it. Right. We just can't make it the way you make it. So that took many years. And so the actual hit on getting a manufacturing facility that would do the product to the gold standard as close as it can be. And it is truthfully, I even personally believe our sauce is a good 97-98% of how it's made in the restaurant, with a consistent result that has, again, no preservatives, no additives, no artificial colors or flavors, all made with fresh vegetables, following the original recipe. We have a place, and that only started in February of 2021. So for years, you got to understand, to try and get to the stage of having a sauce that is like the original takes, for us, a really long time. And since February, we are definitely growing. I think right now our count is probably 125, 130 stores, 140 stores. We're starting with the Loblaw brand stores. The Loblaw has many banners under it. So I was telling, I was speaking earlier about this, where Loblaw as a grocer in Canada has 35% of the grocery business in Canada.
Right.
So we are now finally listed with Loblaw, and we are pushing on and further with their banners, and they have many banners. No Frills, Supercenter, Great Canadian Superstore. They have No Frills. They have Zehrs. They have Loblaw. They have Value Mart. They have many different brands that are all Loblaw. And we're starting in the Windsor, Essex region, moving up to London. We actually have it in No Frills in London right now. And so we're growing. We are listed in Sobeys. We're listed in Metro. We're listed in Food Basics. Plus all the independents that supported us from the beginning when we were even manufacturing the sauce out of the restaurant. I mean, we have probably 50 local retailers that were, you know, I honestly got to say, I'm going to plug out to Denizen Marinas. We're the first two retailers. They are local meat shops in Windsor that produce their own products as well. They took us on. They helped promote us. You know what I mean? And all the local independents were absolutely, you know, gracious to support local product. And they really helped. I know they helped create the buzz and the familiarity with the name and the product, besides the restaurant itself. So, you know, a big hug to all those locals that we love and support as well, that helped us in the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, but the thing is, you've deserved all the success you've done. I mean, you're achieving right now. I mean, you've been working hard. I mean, it can be an ugly business at times.
it is. Well, okay. When COVID hit March 2020, everybody was shut down. It was kind of real heavy focus at that point in time. The Bubby's sauce is it's being manufactured under a separate business for commercialization. It's being manufactured under a separate business called Savory World Foods. And there was a lot going on to try and get it to the stage. That's actually kind of the point where we just found this manufacturer that we're working with that makes a sauce, which is made up in St. Mary's. It's called Del Mar, and the place used to be in Heinz facility. It's an extremely large facility that has phenomenal people working in it with, you know, everybody's got 20 years of experience, and they're just they're a great place to work with. So the sauce is manufactured in Canada, in St. Mary's, Ontario. It's still a Canadian product. And I mean, when COVID first hit, which shut the restaurant, I was extremely focused with Savory World Foods on moving forward with Bubby's sauce. It was an unbelievable busy time for me. So much so, every single day was focused on Savory World Foods and Bubby's sauce, that honestly, it took 9 months to reopen the restaurant just because of time factor. I mean, every day would slip by. I'd look at the clock. It's 6 o'clock. What have I done for Bubby's? today as right. in Bubby's Awesome Eats. And I'd be like, oh my God, I feel like I'm abandoning my baby. You know what I mean? Because this new business was so involved and so overwhelming with all the intricate details and all the issues trying to solve. I mean, it's an animal to put a sauce in the marketplace, to put a product in the marketplace with all the big retailers is an undertaking.
It's monumental.
It's a relearning process. It's a new business. It starts you from day one with every ounce of involvement. It's crazy. It's fun. I love it. I'm not complaining. It's what I want to do.
I think you should. You know what you need to be? We need to get you onto Dragon's Den.
Well, I'm be like, hoping
I'll give you 2% and you give me $1 million.
To tell you the honest truth.
Yeah. And so now let's go back to the restaurant. So it is open now?
The restaurant's open. We reopened the restaurant for takeout in December 2020.
Yep.
And the restaurant's been open for takeout following all the COVID rules. Right now we have patio. Well, today we can actually reopen for inside seating, but that's a whole other issue right now with I'll be honest with you, Bubby's Awesome Eats is very short of staff. When the restaurant closed, we had 30 staff members.
Right.
And when we reopened in December, because of the difference of how we were going to run business with takeout only, I rehired 3 staff members out of the 30. And that was unfortunate because of, well, like I say, COVID brought us way down.
Right.
Now we're back to the stage of trying to reopen the restaurant with some interior seating to whatever the regulations are, some percentage, all the rest of it. Yep. The whole point is that right now I'm short of staff. I need staff. I need cooks. I really do need cooks to come back for servicing the customers again to get the restaurant up and rolling. You know, we're on an extremely skeleton crew at the moment. I've refused. Bubby's Awesome Eats was also doing catering. We've had a good success with catering. We actually call the catering division NADA's Red Ribbon Custom Catering. And we were catering to a lot of corporate accounts and to factories, as a matter of fact. We do like, 3 factories, 1,000 people catering jobs. And I've had to refuse 3 of those because I don't have staff. And the staffing issue is it's not just a Bubby's Awesome Eats
sure.
thing.
Across the it board. Is,
staffing is a pandemic of its own right now. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, that's for sure. Buddy, you know what? Thanks a lot for joining us, man. Good luck with obviously staffing, but, you know, getting the sauce out there. And, it's always great seeing you, man.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. I love you guys. It's love being here.
Well, hopefully you'll come back and chat with us and, or hoist a beverage with us again.
Yeah.
Cheers, sounds buddy. Good. I can't even believe our time is already up.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, my friend.
All the best.
Good
man.
Luck and congratulations.
All the best.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Well, there,
well, there
you have
you
it,
go. A little bit of history. I mean, it's funny. You don't think about it, but, you know, it really is. Bubby's is Windsor culinary history.
Absolutely. And it's so great to see him. I mean, he's got a million stories about downtown and development and everything else that we didn't get into. But, you know, wishing him all the best. And no matter where you are, try to buy a sauce or go to your favorite store and ask for it. Bubby's Awesome Eat Sauce.
Well, sir, it was a pleasure to see you. I'm going to go down to my basement and start mopping.
No. Good luck with that. We'll see you next week, everybody. It's been Knip Knop.
See ya.